This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
No way I'm leaving you. Not in a time like this. Not in this pandemic. Drunk Uncle is here for you. Ain't that right? Boy, isn't that the song that we need? Like, the lyrics to that song, once you hear that, and you think about everything that we're going through right now, and just the need for us to unite as a nation, man. Crown and the MOB, love my people. We done did it. And welcome back to what is, I hope, your favorite sports podcast here on the Yak Network. It is your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast, and I am your host, your Drunk Uncle, Anwar Richardson. And I appreciate the love and support that you guys are showing me right about now. I got to tell you something. I don't really talk about this too much, but I'll be honest with you guys. I get the ratings for the podcast every single week, and actually I have access to it in real time. And I got to tell you, the ratings the past few weeks have been phenomenal. I've been really great, like off the chart type, really good. So I appreciate the support that you guys are showing me right now. And I understand that some of it is just you're a little bit bored. Ain't got nothing to do. Might as well just see if you can check out a podcast. And I'm glad and grateful that you guys are checking out my podcast, because I sincerely appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I really thank you for it, whether you're here from episode 100 or this is the first one that you decided to check out. Either way, thank you for listening to your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. I hope everybody has been out there staying safe. I hope none of you guys have been doing anything crazy outside of just getting the essentials and stuff, man. You see all these stories about people out at Barton Springs, and you see about people coming back from spring break and all having a coronavirus, and you just basically see stupidity. I mean, you see stupidity, and you see a bunch of people that really just need their asses whooped, right? I mean, could we just have a giant belt that just swept through the country and whooped the asses of everybody who is not taking this pandemic seriously, right? Oh, by the way, first time listening to Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast, I do curse. Sorry if your kids heard it, but you know what? Your kids have probably heard worse than that in school. It's about time for them to get back to that. By the way, I wish my kids would go back to school. But man, what have you guys been doing? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to admit something to you. And when I admit this to you, it's going to probably go on other message boards. But listen, right now, it's a little boring at times. You know, I'm able to keep myself busy for the most part. But there are times where there are lulls. And there are times where you're just a little bit bored. And I'll be honest with you, and I very rarely do this. But over the weekend, y'all, I just decided to troll OU fans. I'm just going to be honest with you. I just decided, just for fun, just to do it. I didn't realize it would have the reaction that it was going to have. I'll be honest with you. Because you never know. You can never predict lengthy viral. Like, I had a son who went viral. And that, you know, you put a little something out there and it goes viral. If you try to do something, it won't. So in this instance, I finished watching Tiger King, which was crazy. I mean, just crazy. Just from start to finish. If you've seen it, I won't blow it for you. But clearly from start to finish, this damn thing is crazy. And I just, for fun, shits and giggles, decided to tweet something, and I said, after watching The Tiger King, I don't think I can ever take an insult from an Oklahoma fan seriously. Now, Oklahoma fans got a little bit upset with me because they wanted to point out that the Tiger King had Longhorn gear. He had to wear a Longhorn hat. That's beside the point. It's about where you live. It's about the people that you reside upon. Like, that is who you are. Like, the people of Oklahoma went to support you. They didn't have that damn place here in Austin. We know where it was. And we knew the people that was around him. And so I was like, hey, that's y'all's people. I don't give a damn what hat he wears. He's one of y'all. What team he roots for on Saturday for 3 hours has nothing to do with the other 6 days and umpteenth hours, right? So anyway, this you people got pissed. And you know what? For a day or so, like, that was my entertainment. You know what I'm saying? What else have I been doing? All right, so outside of purposely trolling OU fans just for shits and giggles, but also trying to support local businesses, right? Because, you know, local businesses are struggling, right? So I think it's paramount. Like, you really should go out and support your local businesses. And look, I know some people have chains, and some of those chain restaurants, depending on the dynamics, are owned by some people here locally. So it might be like a McDonald's restaurant, but owned by somebody who's here in Austin or something like that. You guys probably get how franchises work, right? So however you want to do it, like, it's always good to support your local business, especially restaurants, because these guys are struggling. I mean, clearly, and I say guys, obviously women too, so I use that as a generic term, but people are struggling right now. And I was like, so a couple of weeks ago, I decided, like, I'm going to go out to a local business, this place that I go. I'm not going to name the restaurant. You're going to see why in a minute. And I thought, man, I'm going to get some really great food. The food there is spectacular, right? And I picked up the food, and I got it home. And, you know, I got there to the restaurant, right? By the way, it's just barren, right? Just barren. Chairs are folded up on the top of tables. It's just nothing. And I was like, man, I said, bro, I just want to come out here and support you, man. I know times are tough. He's like, man, I appreciate that. It is. And he decided to throw in, like, a free dessert for me. He's like, hey, I just appreciate you coming. I'm like, yeah, man, don't worry about it. I'll be back. And I got home, and part of my meal also had some wings. And I looked at the wings and I go, this is not cooked. These wings are not cooked at all. They're not cooked. And I cut into it and I see, like, pink inside of it. And I'm like, oh. So here's the dilemma, right? Here's the dilemma that I face, right? Do I go back to the person who already is taking a bloodbath? And then do I say, hey, what little money that you made, why don't you throw this out the door and give me my food again? Or do I just consider that as a donation? And it was a donation. I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the heart to do it. Like, on any other day, sure. Like, yeah, but not right now when people are hurting. And to me, it was just like the wing portion of the meal. It's like a $10 portion of the meal. I was like, that's just a donation. I just can't do anything less. So I just let it go. Went through a drive-thru the other day. I mean, and this is how real things are, right? So I'm on a drive-thru, right? And I got my windows rolled down and my son's in the back seat. And I waited. So this lady in front of me, who gets out of her car and she comes, she's in front. So she gets out the driver's side, comes across, goes in front of the trunk, goes to do something on the other side. Well, as she's walking back, I sneezed. Because guess what? It's allergy season. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys got pollen on your car right now. It's allergy season right now. And I'm taking my allergy medicine. I'm doing fantastic. Some dehist. Thank goodness I got that from People's Pharmacy. I don't know if they're still open or not, but, I got my dehist and I bought a sneeze. And she looked at me like I was a dirty dog. Oh, she looked at me like I was, how she looked at me? She looked at me like she found out I had been sleeping with her sister. Like that, like, you nasty mother. That's how she looked at me. And I wanted to say, like, it was like a Larry David moment where I was like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, it's just a sneeze. It's not, I'm not sick. But she just looked at me dirty and then got back into her car. She probably told everybody. She probably has to come back out in a week and shit. But it's crazy. A couple other things. I did something that, you know when you're young, you do stuff. You ever like go out, you decide like, I'm going to go out to a club or a bar or on a date or something like that. And something in your gut tells you, you shouldn't go out. And then you just push through and do it anyway. And then something bad happens, right? You know what I'm saying? So, and then when you get older, you don't feel as obligated to do things, right? If someone wants you to go out and you're in the mood, you go. And if not, you won't, right? That's the great part about being older is that you don't have to give a damn anymore. You do and trust what's right. So I go, you know, my barber's closed, right? So I'm like, well, I want to get a haircut. Of course, I want to look, you know, smooth and stuff. You know, I try to drunk uncle still be fly. You know, I'm in the house, but you know, drunk uncle ain't got to look sloppy. You know, I'm going to come out of this mug one day. So I go to a friend. I'm like, well, my friend could cut my hair. So I go to his house. And I went to his house for the weekend. And it's got some other people going to cut his, you know, get their hair cut too. So it ends up being like a makeshift kind of barbershop, right? And it was in that moment that I realized, you know, this is a dumbass decision you just made, Anwar. Like, what the hell are you doing? Because I don't think in my head I really had processed how close you really are to a person and to your barber while you're getting your hair cut. I don't think, you know, I'll be honest with you, it just never dawned on me. I've been getting my hair cut for so many years, it never dawned on me that this thing is actually closer than 6 feet. This is like a foot. This is less than that. I mean, this is intimate right now. And you're talking to me and you're laughing. And I'm just like, yeah, you're not coughing. You're not sneezing. But I'm all up in your atmosphere. So Drunk Uncle had to make the decision. And guess what Drunk Uncle did as I record this on a Wednesday? Drunk Uncle is officially bald. That's right. Cut it all off. Cut it all off, because I told myself I can't put myself in a situation like that anymore. I got kids. Give me an applause for that, right? Give me an applause for that. I got kids. I got family. And I'm like, you can't do something this irresponsible, man. So you know what? You can pull off the bald look. You got a head that's shaped for a bald look. Go ahead. You get a bald fade. Anyway, go ahead and get the razors, man. I got a nice razor. I got a really nice razor. I spent like $20, $20-something on a razor. I got some nice, you know, the blade. I got some the nice shaving cream. Man, I worked on that thing, man. A drunk uncle, man. Mr. Clean. Like, I'm doing the damn thing, man. And by the last thing, I'm going to talk a little bit sports. I'm happy about that, right? Just filling you in on my life, right? Because I appreciate y'all's support. And listen, y'all know how I like to do Pimp Game 101, right? But you know, there's really no Pimp Game 101 during this pandemic, right? There's not happening. And you know what? It's taking a hit on the people who are in the dating world. Like, if you be grateful. Be grateful for those in a relationship right now. Be grateful. Could you imagine being single right now? You got to make a life decision. I mean, you've got single people have to decide because, you know, people, I mean, clearly people still getting on, you know, Bumble or Hinge or Tinder or Christian Mingle or, you know, whatever you're on, Grindr. I don't judge whatever the hell you're on. Right. So, I know people are going to make silly jokes. Don't do that. But I have a friend, right? I have a good friend of mine. He was telling me a story, right? And he's telling me that it was about a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, everything's kind of busting loose out there. And so he invited a woman to come over to his house. You know, like, hey, we can't go out anywhere. So why don't you come to my place, right? And they didn't really know each other that well. But she initially said, yeah, okay, cool, no problem. I'll come over to your house, right? And, you know, come over to the house, you know. Y'all know what time it is, you know. And I was like, that's what the setup was for, right? About halfway down the road or halfway to his house, whatever the distance was, man, she had that moment. Like, you know, when Drunk Uncle decided he was going to cut his hair? She had that moment like, what the hell am I doing? And she was like, whatever he's packing ain't worth it. It ain't enough. He clearly didn't put enough on the table. She turned her ass around. She's like, I ain't coming. Like, you got people nowadays who are more scared about getting the coronavirus than they ever were about some STD. Oh, you got people who are raw dogging it for years, who didn't never gave a damn. But come to this thing, oh, hell to the no, staying home. So there's going to be some pent up frustrations, pent up angst. Boy, people when people can roll free, oh, look at here. There's going to be a lot of people limping. There's going to be a lot of pulls, hamstring pulls. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of dudes with really strong arms, too. There's going to be a lot of dudes. Man, how can you curl so much in that one arm? How can you curl more in that than you do in the other arm? Listen, y'all, stay safe. The point is, stay safe. Make smart decisions. All jokes aside, stay safe. Make smart decisions. Do it for your family. Do it for your friends. Do it for your neighbors. Do it for the older people who live in your community. Just stay safe so we can all get through this thing together. All right. Let's talk a little sports. Let's get into some sports. I know, like, it's hard. That's what she said. But it's hard to get into some sports right now. But there are some sports and there are some things we can talk about. You know, I've been talking to people inside the building. That's my favorite phrase. I know people try to talk me out of it, but I like to use inside the building. You know why I like to use inside the building? Because when I get anything more specific, people start trying to guess my sources. And people don't understand when they do that, how it really screws up stuff for myself, right? Because let's say you're out there on a message board. And you're out there guessing sources, and you think it's this person, or you think it's that person, or you think it's this person, or whatever, right? You know, oh, he's talking to this, right? Well, the question is, what happens when that person guesses right? And what happens to when my sources see that you may have guessed right? You get the problem, you get the dilemma. So that's why I keep the labeling, and people are, oh, well, why you use inside the building? Because if I got more specific, you're going to blow it for me. You're going to blow it for everybody. So I keep it as inside the building. But I've been talking to people inside the building and also got on a conference call with Tom Herman on Monday. Was it just me? It was a media conference call. So between talking to my sources and then having a conference call with Herman on Monday, it's been able to get a good understanding as to what's really going on behind the scenes here at UT. It's not only just UT, but a lot of places across the country. But, you know, when it comes to college football, every program has had to move to a virtual world. I mean, this is virtual coaching. This is virtual teaching. This is everything from a virtual perspective. It is kind of, you know, it clearly it's necessary, right? Because obviously guys are not being on campus. They've started a school back online at UT this week. I can't tell you about other programs or campuses, but they did it online at UT this week. And, you know, they were waiting for a little bit more clarity, a little bit more, I would say even clarity. They're waiting for the Big 12 to do the right thing. And, you know, Commissioner Bowlesby previously was not allowing any kind of virtual interaction between coaches and players. And, you know, part of it is maybe, you know, because he didn't want the abuse thing to come in as far as coaches. You know, coaches are inch mile. They are known for that. But you also had other conferences that were allowing it. And so you put your conference at a disadvantage. And you had enough coaches that's kind of spoke up about it, enough programs that spoke up about it, and where you finally got to the point where he said, all right, okay. So he's going to allow a few hours a week of virtual coaching and virtual teaching, which, by the way, in this time, you know, it helps. Like, kids need that structure. Like, if you've got kids at home and you understand, like, they, you know, they were at elementary school, middle school, high school, and now they're at home, you understand what it's like when they don't have that structure right now. I mean, you get the challenges. You get the fight, right? You get the, okay, I've got to get you up by a certain time and so you're productive, right? You get all the issues that are involved in that. And so this is a time where the Big 12 can't be the, oh, well, they we're going to put in all these rules and regulations. If there ever was a time that you need to be a little bit more lax, this is the time right now, because the kids need this structure. Again, you've got kids at home. You understand. Like, all right, look, hey, it's 10 o'clock. It's 10. Get up out the bed. We're not going to do summer for the next 4 or 5 months. That is not what we're fixing to do in this household, right? And so the Big 12 finally allowed it. And what you've got now is coaches who are, at least on the UT staff, who are trying to coach and implement from a virtual standpoint. Previously, what they were doing was having Yancey McKnight, who's a strength and conditioning coach, send out workout plans. And what was fascinating about the workout plans was Yancey McKnight had to account for a couple of things. He had to account for people who maybe had a home gym or had access to weights, right? Or maybe they had, there's some people, I know there's some players who are literally still working out with other players, like in position specific type of training, right? So if you're a running back or a DB or offensive lineman or defensive lineman, you work out with other DBs, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, do you have certain people that do these things, right? So I've seen some of it on Twitter, but heard about some of it. And so some people are just working out with groups of people, right? And I saw one picture with one player, and I count, and they all pose for a picture, zero social distancing, and I'm pretty sure it was over 20 of them, just over 20. And I was like, oh, y'all gonna roll like that? Y'all roll like that? Okay, that's what you're doing. But Yancey McKnight was sending out these workout plans. And I don't know if you guys saw Court Jacquez the other day on Twitter, where he literally, I guess he doesn't have weights. Because that's a problem, right? Because if you don't have weights, and we'll talk about the nutritional aspect in a second, you don't have weights, well, what are you going to do? So Yancey McKnight accounted for that and said, okay, well, these are the exercises for you to do for people who don't have weights. You can operate without weights, right? Herschel Walker was a guy that didn't lift weights, but he did a ton of push-ups, and look how strong he was, right? So in some ways, weights could be more damaging for you. So, but he, Court, decided he's going to go out to Home Depot. He put cement in buckets and got some plywood and some more buckets and basically created his own home gym out of cement buckets. Like, for real. I don't even know how much it weighed, but that's exactly how he decided to make his home gym. Now, hopefully the young man don't get hurt. That's one way to do it. One of the things that has been expressed, and Tom Herman brought this up in his press conference, or at least telephone conference, is, and it makes a lot of sense, he says he was really concerned about the nutritional aspect as relates to these young men. And then when you think about it, it's so true, because you've got young men who, look, what a lot of these guys are thin when they come out of high school. And the reason why they're thin is because, they're not eating as well. And some of that is ignorance. Some of that has to do with finances. Some people just don't have the money to eat well. And then they get to a college campus, and what happens? They get into a nutrition program where they're getting fed 3 times a day and maybe being able to have snacks, and not go, all of a sudden, they're able to eat well. But what happens when they have to go home to that environment for extended a period of time? I mean, that's one of the things that he expressed, and I was like, wow, that's real. I hadn't even thought of that aspect of how these kids are going to eat. Like, if you go to certain school districts, and I live out in the Leander School District, certain schools, they still give out meals throughout the, at least one time a day, I think either twice a day, but I do know they feed them. I don't know the specifics. You guys probably know the specifics on them. I just know overall they are being fed. And I say the Leander ISD, I know other school districts across the state are doing that, right? So, but you realize, because they understand, like, hey, just because these kids aren't in school, some of these kids, they need these meals to survive. And then you go and thinking of some of these college kids, and you're like, man, how are they surviving? He said, like, and so Tom Herman's like, yeah, that's one of my concerns, is that hopefully that these kids are eating well. And then, they may have to readjust and help these young men out when they get home. Like, this is real. These are happening right now as relates to what everyone is dealing with. And so you got coaches who are coaching virtually. They're holding classes. They're holding meetings. They're being able to talk. Now, one thing that my sources had, you know, indicated to me, and it was confirmed. It's always good when you hear something from your sources, but then like the coach says something, and then it like confirms it, because you're like, ooh, okay, I wasn't led down the wrong path. I don't feel stupid, right? You know, they said that they've got the majority of plays installed during winter conditioning. Like the majority of plays were installed during winter conditioning, because I guess what occurred this year was they were allowing walkthroughs. And because of walkthroughs, they were able to install plays. Now, the one thing that they did not get a chance to do, which they were planning to do during spring football, was to be able to go at full speed. And they clearly didn't have that opportunity. But the overwhelming majority of things are installed outside of like certain specific like specialty type of things. So maybe some like little third down things, some special teams, like little things like that. Overall, everything is installed. So overall, everyone inside of the building feels really good about where they are from an installation standpoint. Mike Yurcich, the offensive coordinator, he came in and, you know, and props to him, he looked at the playbook and said, okay, let me learn their terminology as opposed to me teaching them new terminology. Because in his mindset and in Tom Herman's mindset, hey, it's easier for one person to learn it than would it be for 50, 60 guys, you know, on offense to learn it. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, I'll learn it, I'll adapt, and then I will figure out how to navigate it from there. And so he was able to do that. Chris Ash, the defensive coordinator, he was able to get into his lot of his defensive installation. So from a where are they now from a team standpoint, they feel pretty good. Now, the clear thing right now is just maintaining, right? It's like you've got the plant, it's growing, right? And now you just got to continue to water it. So they got to continue to water it through meetings, continue to water it by telling guys and giving guys workout plans, and then continue to water it through giving these guys optimism, something to kind of look forward to within that day-to-day thing. You guys who are working from home, like I work from home a lot, so especially in the offseason, so I'm used to this, but you know, think about the adjustment that many people across this country are having working from home. I know people who are depressed, like literally people who are depressed, fighting depression because they're used to human interactions. They're used to going into the office and being able to talk to people and interact with people. And so having to be at home and confined and not being able to go out to bars or restaurants or hang out with friends and this like that is taking an emotional toll on them. And I'm sure you have people who are probably the same way, right? Imagine these young men who are used to the structure of football, you know, that who have done it for years. I mean, very few guys who play football, especially on a college level, started as a sophomore in high school. The majority of them been playing it since Pop Warner or, you know, or the youth leagues. You know what I'm saying? They start at, a you know, 10 years old, 11 years old, and this is what they've done. And we're talking about a group that this is specialized. You know, back in the day that, you know, you guys remember, you would have like football, spring football practice, and that would be it. You would come back into the fall, and that was it. It was over. And you just had to kind of stay in shape, and then you would have training camp in order to get in shape. Well, you got guys now who are used to playing year-round. So one of the advantages that they told me is they feel like guys are able to keep up with the off-season workouts because they are so used to kind of working year-round. But they still don't have the structure that football brings them. And they still don't have the structure that you would have being in on campus, right? Because, you know, you're talking about learning. You have to be a self-starter at this point, self-motivated, not only in the classroom from a football perspective. And here's the issue right now that they're still trying to work out is, how do you get some of these young men tutoring? Some young men, and there's nothing wrong with it. I think all of us who went to college did some sort of tutoring at some point. Badge of shame that some people have that the tutoring, but they still got to figure out that virtual component of, hey, the people who need tutoring, how are they going to get that? And so now more than ever, They need the structure of a virtual world, which is what you see UT embracing, you see other programs embracing, but they at least get this thing there until we finally get to a point where we hopefully have football again. Now, it's not all doom and gloom. Because in some ways, it does benefit a couple of people. Not everybody, right? There's some people who doesn't benefit. Like, it doesn't benefit a guy like Hudson Carr. You know, the freshman quarterback, Hudson Carr, freshman quarterback, he early enrolls, right? And he's two guys that they signed, Hudson Carr to Quindon Jackson. And so Hudson Carr theoretically should have the advantage in that competition, right? Two freshman quarterbacks, but one guy's on campus, the other guy's not. Jaquindon Jackson, he's back over in the Dallas area, right? He's, you know, so he hasn't enrolled, but there's no practices going on. And one of my sources told me the other week, they said, you can't lose any ground if there's no practice. If there's no competition, there's no advantage to be gained. And so, you know, you look at it from that perspective, but then also look at it for guys who are hurt. The BJ Fosters of the world, the Dayaways of the world, right? People who may not who had significant injuries that said, hey, maybe they lose some ground. Well, BJ Foster's not going to lose any ground, not in a safety competition, not when there's no competition. And a Dayaway, he's not going to lose any ground in a linebacker competition if there's no linebacker competition. In fact, it's helping these guys because they can get healthy, right? They can heal. And then whenever we have football again, whenever that may be, I don't know when, and we'll talk about that in a second, but whenever they have football again, they won't be far behind. They will just be, they will be on equal playing field and equal footing. It won't be like they missed the spring, fell behind, and they got to play catch up all off season. They're going to come in at a point where, I mean, look, I've had some people guesstimate to me that the earliest this thing might come back would be like May 31st. But that's been a guesstimate, okay? Guesstimate. It's not, don't get on a message board and say honors reporting. I'm not reporting. I'm just talking about guessing. And, you know, that's just guesswork. And those things can change. And then nothing is definite, right? This thing is not a week to week. It's literally day to day, right? It's literally day to day. Like, our lives have been altered probably realistically within like a 3-week span or so. I mean, really think about it. And so we'll see what happens as relates to when that can get started. But overall, from a health standpoint, those guys are going to be good. Now, the big question, and this is the question I keep posing, and this is the question that no one really can give me a great answer to as of this moment. But everyone has told me, and I've asked this to multiple people, and everyone's told me it's a very valid question onward. The question is, how can we have a return to football? Really all sports, but a return to football without having massive testing available. And then also having precautions, and then also being able to have resolutions if someone gets infected with something, the coronavirus. Because at the end of the day, when you think about practice, all right, if you think about a football practice, I don't know, you may not have been to a college football practice, so let me give you an understanding of what happens. If you may have been to high school practice, it's a little bit similar, but college, like anything or any level, it's more advanced, it's more people involved. At a college football practice, you're going to have over 100 players, because even though you may have 85 scholarship players, you got walk-on players who are out there, right? So you're usually somewhere over 100 people who are there. Now you got to add in 10 head coaches, right? So, yeah, like 110-ish or something like that, right? And, you know, 110, let's just say 115. Give me like 20 walk-ons, okay? You're at 115. And then you've got support staff. You've got people like the interns who hold dummies and hold mitts and hold all these other type of things. So you've got those people who are running around like crazy, okay? So now add in another 15, 20 of those. Okay, of people who need to be helping. You got people who need to serve water or Gatorade, right? And you got those people who do that throughout the practices. Okay, you got people who are filming throughout the practices, right? So now you see the number is starting to come up. So now you're talking about where are we at? 140-ish or so? I'm starting to lose count, but I'm just rounding up, right? So let's just make life simple and give us a good round number. Let's say on 150. that are out of practice. How do you safeguard it so the person who's in charge of water, the person who might be filming, the person who might be on the field holding pads, you get what I'm saying? I didn't even mention all like the support staff people who may go to practice, right? But how do you safeguard it that one person doesn't infect and have a sickness that takes over the entire team? And then what becomes your plan of attack if someone does become sick? What becomes your stages of the quarantine? And how many people get quarantined? And do you have practice the next day if that happens? You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's so many layers to it. So without the mass testing, I'm curious as how do you have a return to football? Now, clearly, you see things out there about, what is it, like, I think it was by Abbott. Is it Abbott Laboratories? Something like that. Forgive me. But it's something Abbott related, okay? I think it's Abbott Labs. I think that's what it is. I think it's Abbott's Labs. Anyway, they're supposed to have a test that you can get done within like 15 minutes or something like that. And so if you have that, now that's a game changer, right? That becomes a game changer because now you have the ability to test and then be able to know, okay, does the people have it or not have it? And if you can be able to do that, now I don't know how often you would have to test, right? Because you're coming into this environment all the time. I don't know if there will have to be a quarantine of a football team. Like, does a football team have to take over a hotel? Like, this stuff I've talked to with sources. Does a football team have to take over a hotel? And this is like almost do it like an NFL training camp. Like, hey, this is what we're going to be here in this location for the next 3 weeks, and no one leaves. Like, this is where we're at. And does it have to be done in that way? And how do you limit that and how do you enforce that realistically? Right, you know, because the first time someone gets hungry for Chick-fil-A, well, now you put everyone in danger. You know, the question also becomes, as we start thinking about the long term of it, how do you pack 100,000 people in DKR for the home opener versus USF? How do you prevent that from being a petri dish of disaster? Like, how do you do that? And will people want to come? Will people even want to risk it? And then what happens in the winter? If it comes back, what do you then do with the sports that you already had gotten started? Or had started, rather. Like, so many questions, so many things. That's why I say it's day-to-day. It's not even week-to-week, it's day-to-day. All they can do is coach virtually. But these are things that no one, college football has the answer to right now. No one has the answer to when football is realistically will come back. No one can answer when it's safe enough to even come back. I haven't even heard about other organizations or other leagues even thinking about the return of sports. I'll do a better search today, but I haven't heard that. So many different things, so many different dynamics. I'm not saying at the end of the day we won't have college football in some sorts. I talked to one administrator this week. I mean, he threw out the idea of if there's a college football season, it might just be played in front of family members and empty stadiums. And to which I said, okay, well, what about the money that you're paying out? If you're Texas and you've given UTEP $1 million, but you've got no gate, no concession, no parking, you got nothing, can you even do that? Or that here becomes a question. Or do you drop non-conference games? I know. But that was posed to me. That was posed to me by a high-level person. Again, it's all talk, all speculation. No, none of this is etched in stone. Right now, it is April the 1st. And if anybody's got a time for April Fool's joke, I mean, God bless you and your sanity. But for the rest of us who are just trying to get through today, you know, it's April 1st. And it's a long time between now and the start of the college football season. But Bowlesby did say they wanted to have something, kind of an understanding, I believe, within like 60 days or so as to what they're going to do and what direction that they're going to take. Because at some point, you could only do virtual for so long, right? I mean, you could only do that for so long before you got to make some decisions. You at some point, you have to start getting out there on the field and practicing in if you want to have a college football season. Because because without college football, if this doesn't happen, that cash cow that college football is, there's going to be athletic departments that crumble, quite frankly. There will be athletic departments that don't survive. They just won't. It'll be impossible to. Because without that revenue, some of the secondary sports, they rely on football. And so what happens to those programs? And that's why I think in some way, shape, or form, we will have college football this year. What that way looks like, what that shape looks like, what that form looks like, super hard to tell. All we know is they've got virtual football, virtual coaching. Drunk Uncle shaves his head bald. I cannot cough in or sneeze through a drive-thru because that's not going to go over well. And we're trying our best to get through and get through the situation. So that's it for me. That's it for our sports talk. That's it for the other talk. I appreciate your support. Hey, make sure you share this podcast with people. Say, man, listen, you're not doing anything. This is a free podcast. Drunk Uncle's numbers are starting to go through the roof. Go ahead and support your man. Send it to your people. Say, hey, man, you've got nothing to do. I think this, you might have some, you know, some entertaining, got some little Longhorn talk, some other silly stuff. But, you know, go ahead and support him. He kind of likes to troll OU fans. And so that's not a bad thing. They troll me. I gotta tell you about a story about, I may have mentioned this before in a previous podcast, how Baker Mayfield and his crew started some crap with me one time. So it was literally him and his crew, and we all had a healthy exchange of words. But but they trolled me, tapped me on the shoulder, trolled me while I was sitting there minding my own business, throw a horns down sign, and start talking their crap. So it is what it is. It's all right. It's just part of the... Hey, listen, I realize that I cannot be out of this rivalry, so I just embrace it. I lived in Texas for 6 years. I went to the University of South Florida. People think I'm a Longhorn or Longhorn fan, and they don't give a damn. So it is what it is. Like, if you like it, I love it. And if it could have some fun and we could just have some levity in these times that we're dealing with, why not? Why not? And then hopefully in the fall, we'll have football and or late fall and, you know, we will be able, or late summer. I don't know what the damn seasons are. Whenever Texas OU is, hopefully we can cut this jam pack, the Cotton Bowl, and have a great ass time in Dallas. And this thing will be behind us. Until we talk next week, hey, you guys stay safe. Be safe. Make smart decisions. Drunk Uncle realizes he's got to make smarter decisions. Learn from Drunk Uncle. Think about the things and activities that you're doing and to just ask yourself, am I putting myself in harm's way? And if you're going to be within a foot of somebody, I would say you're probably putting yourself in harm's way. Choose different times to shop at HEB. You know what I'm saying? Like just be smart about things. Get to stores when they first open. HEB is a little bit of deception. But you know, your Home Depots of the world, the Walmarts of the world. I get there when they open, 6 o'clock or so for Home Depot, 8 o'clock for Walmart. There's nobody that's there. You don't want to go to Walmart when it's packed anyway. You know what that place is like. It's like, what's that, Star Wars? I mean, that's how scary it is, and that's how scary it gets. So you don't want to do that. So just choose off times, be safe. And you know what? Enjoy the time with the family. You know, all of us are getting a time to really enjoy times with the kids and do things with the kids and activities with the kids. And it's not just them in front of electronics, but it's actually us interacting with them and playing with them. And I was going up and down the stairs with my youngest son, soon to be 2-year-old. And literally he would just get on the stairs, go 1, 2, 3, and we would just scoot our butts down the stairs, you know, having fun, having a good time. And make sure you guys do the same thing. Make sure you guys have fun with the family. Have a fantastic time. And remember, as I always say, live each day like it was your last. Because one day, it will be. You guys take care.